Well, good morning. We are here. It's a Thursday morning, and I'm your host, Tom Moulton, and thank you for joining the Morning Voice. We're here every single weekday with a different host, talking to community leaders throughout Tucson and Southern Arizona, and we got a really special gentleman here today, Rob Samuelson. Good morning. Good morning, Ron.
Tom, good morning. Nice to be here.
I almost said good morning, Sam.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Have they called you Sam before?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, we're in good company here. Rob and I have got to know each other over the years when they took over and christened the Sabino Canyon Crawler, what used to be called the Sabino Canyon, I guess, Tram, or whatever the name was. And it's been around for a long, long, long time. And we're going to talk a little bit about the history. More importantly, is the National Forestry Service Park open? That's important. We want to let everybody know. And we won't tease it. It's open, okay, guys? So if you're planning on going out to Sabino Canyon, or you're going out to Saguaro National Park, you know, these parks are open, but they have limited service, right? But they are open, and you see people going out to them, don't you?
That's correct. The parking lot is open, the restrooms are open, and the Sabino Canyon Crawler is running on a normal schedule.
Absolutely. And, of course, you know, it's a popular time of the year as well. Now, what we do, Rob, generally at the first, for a couple of minutes, we talk about the special events that are coming, and we're waiting for our co-host to join us, and I don't know if you have the ability, Matt, to give him a call, or I don't know if you know his number, but we'll try to get him on. Something must be going on this morning, but I will sub for him because we want to talk about Tom and Tim's favorite events that are going on this weekend, and there's always too many to talk about, Rob, but it is the last weekend of the Nightfall. The 33 years Nightfall has been going on, and Dr. Hyde has been kind of pushed off to the side, and Dabbing the Clown and his clowns have taken over the asylum, and you got to go.
Maybe Dabney got Tim.
Yeah, maybe.
Tim was right all along.
He was scared. He's scared of clowns.
Dabney is a scary clown, but I found him somewhat endearing when he was on a couple weeks ago, so.
And, you know, and there's some other things going on. Sonoran Glass School has a Halloween promotion that's going on. We haven't mentioned the Sonoran Glass School for a while. And, you know, so what you want to do is go to visittucson.org or thisistucson.com. And there's just this is the time of the year of festivals. You know, the weather is beautiful. Even though we had a little warm spell at the beginning of the week. But this is the time to get out, because before you know it, you know, you have to put a coat on, and, you know, people in Tucson don't want to put coats on. So, well, today we're going to talk a little bit about two things. 7 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about Sabino Canyon Crawler and the history of Sabino Canyon as far as the access to the park. And then in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about Diana Medeiros and her just absolutely a world-class artist. Started out as a sports marketing person years ago in the 90s. I knew her then, and worked with her on promoting tourism. And she had this hobby called painting. And she's turned this with her marketing skills into kind of a world enterprise. She has a gallery here on Swan Road. And she has her annual exhibit going on. So we're going to hear from her marketing and business associate. And she's going to talk all about all the things that are going on with her. She's busy painting right now to prepare for the show. But that'll be our 8 o'clock hour. So, again, good morning, Rob. And thank you for joining me in the studio.
It's a real pleasure. Thank you.
Now, don't forget, we are on YouTube and Facebook, so we're live. You get to see our mugs, in the morning. And
10:30 The Voice is the channel on YouTube. 10:30 The Voice.
Right, and as you know, once you're on the internet, you're on the internet forever.
That's absolutely
you
true.
You know, and how does Rob look there in the camera? He looks pretty good. Turn a little bit to the left there, Rob, and there you are. See that nice picture of the back of your head there. So, you know, we've been around, both of us, for a while, and we don't really know a lot about Rob. You kind of came. you know, a visibility in the tourism circuit back when the crawler. How long has the transition between diesel to electric been going on now?
Well, we identified it at the Pima Association of Governments back probably 10 or 12 years ago. Colleen Crowninshield was our Clean Cities Coordinator, and she thought this would be a great opportunity to introduce electric vehicles to the public. It didn't really take hold at that point, but over time, when the concession came up for bid from the U.S. Forest Service, we took a look at that, and we started to put a plan together to introduce electric vehicles to the canyon.
And, you know, this has been going on. I used to live in San Antonio, and they got the famous Riverwalk boat ride. And there was always complaints about this gasoline or diesel fuel, you know, leaking into the Riverwalk. And for years and years and years, they had the same concessionaire who did not, you know, I mean, they were beautiful boats, but they were gasoline and or diesel, depending on the year that they were introduced. And finally, they also introduced electric boats. And no pollution, nothing leaking into the water. And they've been enjoying it for probably longer than the Sabino Canyon crawler. Beautiful boats as well as the crawler is a beautiful vehicle. And how many vehicles do you have now?
We have 5 electric vehicles, and we still run a couple gas-powered for the Bear Canyon route. But we have 4 new electric vehicles on order, and we'll be introducing those to the canyon here at the first of the year. Thereabouts.
Yeah, beautiful narrated tours, mostly recorded. The announcer and the driver, highly trained because he's slowing down and speeding up and stopping. There's actually how many stops now that, when you go through the crawler from the beginning of the station to the top and all the way down? There's lots of stops, aren't there?
Well, there's 9 official stops.
Okay.
And so if you want to hop on, hop off, you can do that now with the crawler. You can, if you want to hike up and you get tired and you want to ride down, you can buy a ticket for the ride, just for the ride down, directly from the driver. That was a service that was not available previously, and that's been really popular. So on these beautiful hiking days, you can hike, and if you just decide that you're too tired to hike back, you can jump on a space available basis.
And I think you can spend a lot more time there now too, because of that ability to go jump on and jump off. And there are a few restrooms along the way as well.
There are a few restrooms, and there's a brand new exhibit put together with the Friends of Sabino Canyon that is just a wonderful exhibit there at Stop 1. So if nothing else, you go up to Stop 1, look at the new exhibit that's just recently opened and was just dedicated a few months ago.
Now, tickets are really easy to get. I mean, online. We do have a little bit of a special that goes on for a part of the year with the Tucson Attractions Passport. And then when you get to around Christmas time and high season, the discount goes away because you have a capacity issue sometimes. You know, but we thank you for working with the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance during the off season or shoulder season, where you can get, you know, a kind of a very reasonable price. Even though the price is reasonable as it is without the discount, it's because it's a whole day now almost if you want to spend, you know, 4 or 5 hours there on and off the tram. And now you have a second tour as well. It's not part of the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance Passport book, but where does that other tour take you?
We run 2 shuttle routes. One goes up Sabino Canyon, that's narrated. And then we also have a trailhead service that goes out to Bear Canyon if you want to hike up to the Bear Canyon up to Seven Falls.
Now, is that becoming more popular now that you're promoting it?
It's popular for hikers, but okay. It's not a hike for the mild. So you do need to be prepared and bring water and bring good shoes. And you've got a number of creek crossings if the water's running. So it is. It's a 7-mile hike round trip plus the. If you wanted to hike to the visitor center where the parking lot is, then it's another 1.5 miles.
Well, that's why Tucson is so important for active seniors. And they have a choice. And are those all the electric vehicles as well?
Well, with the new ones coming in, we can provide that. Yes.
Oh, so that's great. So we're going to get. The diesels are on standby in case, you know, but you try not to use those diesels anymore, and they haven't been used for a number of, ever since, COVID, you haven't had those really out, have you? The diesels, occasionally maybe they go out for maintenance or issues, or but are they pretty much retired?
Well, we've been running those on the Bear Canyon,
okay,
the entire time, but that's okay. That's outside of the canyon. That's right. in the open area where you have better, better air and
ventilation
and stuff like that, and you're not interrupting with animal life and stuff like that. It's also a trail that's typically people don't walk on. They're not walking on the road to Bear Canyon. There's a trail. If you're going to hike from the visitor center over, you're hiking on a trail rather than on the road.
Now, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk briefly about the history, because there has been various forms of transportation to enjoy Sabino Canyon over the years. And you can imagine horses were probably involved, in the very beginning, obviously hiking. But there's a reason why you had to add this new transportation system. So we'll talk a little bit about that, meeting the demand of the public, because it is a very, very successful part of traveling to Tucson and our region to see our national parks and our national forest. And Sabino Canyon, the Saguaro National Park, are one of a kind. You know, obviously a lot has to do with our Sonoran Desert environment, but it has a lot to do with, the fact that we have Saguaro cactuses. Nobody really has those. I mean, what if they do? They're kind of fake, Phoenix, we are the largest Saguaro National Park forest here in our environment. And of course, the Sonoran Desert, with being designated as the living desert. I used to live in the Mojave Desert. And I had, when I got transferred to the Mojave Desert, I had to look it up because I thought, where is this, Africa or something? I had no idea where the Mojave Desert was. And then the contrast between the Mojave Desert in California and the Sonoran Desert in our southern Arizona and Mexico region is worlds of difference, isn't it? As soon as a little bit of drop of rain, everything turns green, everything blooms. So we'll be right back with our special guest, Rob Samuelson, and we're talking about Sabino Canyon Crawler and the Sabino Canyon, and it is open. We'll be right back. This is The Morning Voice. We are back with our special guest, Rob Samuelson, S-E-N, Rob. So I apologize for spelling your name wrong. I must have looked at the internet late last night. Anyway, we are talking a very important topic today because of the, I think we're now at the 30th day of the federal government shutdown, and there's a lot of rumors out there that the national parks, National Forestry Service attractions are not open, and this is, of course, the great time to come visit one of those national jewels. And so we asked Rob to come on the show this morning, a couple days ago, and we're so thankful that you're here, and good morning again.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Sabino Canyon is not a Disneyland park, is it?
It is definitely a natural park. It is operated by the U.S. Forest Service, and we are a concessionaire with the service that we provide to the U.S. Forest Service.
Now, give us a little brief history of, because you're a fairly new organization. The fellows that were running the tram were around for, probably decades, and there came a time where it was time to get into the 21st century.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a long history with Sabino Canyon. It starts with the Hohokam. They've done a substantial excavation there. There's a large settlement right there at the where the Bear Creek joins Sabino Creek. And so, because there's water.
Yes.
And the desert water is everything. And then more modern, it became a tourist destination in the 1930s. They were going to build a reservoir up in the below Mount Lemmon there in the mountains, in the Catalina Mountains. And so they started building this road to go back into there. They ran out of money, and that's the road that we drive today. It was opened up to the public so people could drive their personal cars up there all the way up into the 70s, early 70s, and it became too popular, too crowded. And so the Forest Service decided to shut it down and put a concessionaire in place to run a tour up there. And so the Ricketts family took that tour, the father and then the son later. And they operated that all the way up until the 2018.
Right. And then Tucson Electric Power, that you mentioned, and others were in discussion prior to that to figure out a way to maybe create a more environmental friendly tour. And this partnership formed.
Yeah, so the U.S. Forest Service wanted a different service than they were getting. They wanted one that was more professional, more oriented toward the environment and to preserve the outdoor experience for the walkers and the hikers. And so they the concession that the Ricketts family had was expiring, so they put it out to bid. Myself and others at the Pima Association of Governments looked at this. We'd been looking for a demonstration project with TEP for electric vehicles, and so we formed a new company called the Regional Partnering Center. It's a not-for-profit, and we put a bid together and won the concession from the U.S. Forest Service. Some of the things the Forest Service wanted, first of all, the previous vendor only did cash. And it was cash, there was no reservations in advance, and if you didn't have cash, then you couldn't get on. It was as simple as that. So they wanted to have at least three different ways to pay for your tickets. The second thing is they really didn't like the diesel. They're smelly. They're noisy. They were dropping a lot of oil on the roadway, getting washed into the watershed. So they really wanted a clean energy. They didn't specifically say electric, but they wanted a clean energy solution. And so we just thought that was a really good opportunity with working very closely with TEP to put this proposal together, which we did, and then we won the concession. And so we've been operating since then.
Yeah, and you know, I'm sure there's a whole story behind the selection of the vehicles. First of all, they had to be accessible, handicapped accessible. So they are handicapped accessible, correct?
That's correct.
People of all sizes and shapes get in and out. And you actually did operate mostly during COVID. With masks, you had to have a mask on, and there was a little bit of distancing going on. But did you have to shut down at all during COVID?
You know, obviously we all lived through that, and it was a really tumultuous time. There were some federal rules about masking, which was not popular with some people, and other people was very popular. We try to stay out of that fray. We do what we're told based on the rules of the National Forest Service. But we continued to operate during that time. Obviously we had less ridership because people were worried about distancing and stuff. But the beautiful thing, even in COVID, people felt safer outside than inside.
Absolutely. And of course, it turned out that the 6-foot distances was probably not necessarily an accurate rule, but everybody felt safe with the masks and you were outdoors. And I got a chance to film a commercial out there with Papa Noel. You may remember that. You have to follow U.S. transportation safety rules, which we did. And then once the COVID was over, our sponsor, Visit Tucson, went out and filmed some new footage out there. Lots of new photographs, lots of new video that they took. So we now have, obviously, new footage, new videos, and new photographs that were taken courtesy of our partner, Visit Tucson. And, of course, it's always best to film Sabino Canyon when the water is running. So tell us a little bit about when does that water run?
Well, if we could predict that, our business would be so much better. First of all, in the summer when we have heavy monsoon storms, then it runs. But usually then it runs like a banshee.
Yeah, you have to just go on through, or do sometimes you have to close down?
Sometimes we have to close down. We have very discreet markers on the bridges. We're allowed to cross the bridges if there's 9 inches or less water running over the top of the bridges. If it's over 9 inches, we close down. But a lot of times with those storms, it also brings a lot of debris.
Okay, yes.
So logs and rocks and it creates all sorts of chaos for us. And we do clean that up. We work in partnership with the U.S. Forest Service. So we do a lot of the road maintenance. They also help us with that. We have a really good partnership with them, so we're happy about that. And then what I usually tell people is, I said, after the first rainstorm, that just soaks into the ground. The second rainstorm starts to fill the pools that have dried up over the hot summer. And it's the third rainstorm when we actually start to see flow.
Now,
in the summertime.
On your website, since that can be, You can add to that, you know, at a moment's notice. Do you put an alert, a water alert on there at all, so you let people know the water is running today?
We have a water alert and we have a camera on it so you can see for yourself. Really, the best time when the water is really running is when we've had snow.
Okay.
That melts slowly and it runs for months and months. We can be running with running water all the way into early June on good years. So we really pray for snow. And our ridership just skyrockets when the water's running.
Yes.
People love to see the water.
So it's not really, we don't want to say it's occasional. It's because it's not. Like you said, if it snows, you're going to get some water. All the way almost to June. That is, I didn't know that. That's amazing. And it is the time to go. It's not like you're challenging going through a waterfall because it is a controlled bridge. Water kind of rolls over. And like you said, there's markers on there so the tram doesn't float away, which has never happened. By the way, and you mentioned the condition of the road, and it's a wonderful new road, and we'll be back and talk a little bit about that because it was recently repaved. This is The Morning Voice, and I'm here today with your guest, Rob Samuelson, and we're talking about the Sabino Canyon Crawler. And folks, it is open. So if you're going, go ahead and go. We'll be right back. We're back here today, and we're talking about the Sabino Canyon Crawler and how it's open to the public, even though we're on the 30-day shutdown here. We talked about during the break, when you arrive at Sabino Canyon, you are greeted generally, mostly, let's say, except for maybe now, by one of the entities that helps run this beautiful national forestry park. Tell us a little bit about that, Rob, the three entities that are helping making sure your experience is rememberable when you arrive at Sabino Canyon.
Well, it's really quite remarkable. There's a number of volunteer groups that work out at Sabino Canyon. We work in partnership with all of them, and we're really proud of that partnership, and we have a really good relationship with all of them. The Volunteer Patrol, they do trail maintenance and a lot of hiker information, and so you'll see a lot their presence a lot of the time. And you have the Volunteer Naturalists. They just helped us on a project, write a new script for us, but they're the ones that run the school programs. Great people. They're scientists and naturalists, so they really, really know that side of the canyon really well, and really fun group to work with. You have the PLEA runs a store, so they're the retailer, if you will. And then the Southern Arizona Search and Rescue is headquartered out there, so we don't like to work with them because that usually means there's an emergency.
I understand that. But when I was out there filming the commercial with Papa Noel, I got to meet Smokey the Bear. So,
yes.
You know, he's a spokesperson for the U.S. Forestry Service. And we all grew up with that, didn't we, Smokey the Bear? An important icon, I think, for the safety of. Now, this is a unique combination because they don't allow private vehicles anymore, which is great. I'm sure when you said private vehicles, when we talked about the history, there was probably wagons, I guess I would think, very early on as well. But now that you have this wonderful new road that was repaved about 2 years ago, it is an extremely smooth trip up and down the mountain.
It's absolutely great. We worked with the U.S. Forest Service to make sure that didn't, you know, they weren't doing the road work in peak season. May, June is when they did it. So that's when it starts to, you know, our volumes start to drop a lot. So this is sort of an example of how we work with the Forest Service, and they're a great partner, and we have a great relationship with them, and we're really happy to be concessionaires out there.
7.4-mile round trip with nine stops?
Yes, that's correct.
Nine stops. Up and down, restrooms in between, water. I'm sure there's water fountains and what have you. A few going up and down.
The best thing to do, you live in Southern Arizona, is you carry your own water.
Bring your own water, your own backpack. And,
yes.
Now, let's talk a little bit about what's going on. We don't know a lot of the details, but you and I have attended some of the planning meetings because of the demand, both from a curated as well as a customer service standpoint, the visitor center needs to expand and modernize.
Yeah, we're working, all of the partner groups are working, and the U.S. Forest Service are working with the Friends of Sabino Canyon, yet another partner group, and they do a great job. They're a really good organization as well, And they're working to put in a brand new visitor center and have a whole new visitor's experience there. They've got some conceptual drawings of what that building might look like. If you're interested, go out to the Friends of Sabino Canyon, get more information. If you like to write checks, I'm sure they would appreciate donations to help make this happen. But it's a big project. It's an exciting project, and it's long overdue. And I think we'll all benefit from it in the whole entire community.
I think both of us agree it was a very talented pool of people that were there from the government. Then there was a very talented pool from the community. And community feedback, that was really the core of this meeting, I think. You know, they started off with, in a sense, we used to say, a drawing on a napkin. You know, and from there it's grown now, as you mentioned, conceptual drawings. We don't know where the project is. I don't think anybody really knows where it is, at least because of the recent government shutdown. But there is a lot of passion to get this thing built. The building, if I recall correctly, the concept is for the building to exist within the environment. So clearly lots of windows, lots of open space. There is a current small museum that helps to curate the conservation efforts of the Sabino Canyon, and of course with the Department of Agriculture over all the Forestry Service, there is obviously some mission statement that they portray for environmental friendly programs. Renewable resources is a huge part of the Department of Agriculture. So there is a mission when you go into it. It's besides just the wonderful mountain and the views and the hiking trails and all the wonderful people that are out there having a nice adventure walk, there is also a very important message to come home with. And I think you all have embraced that. As you go into, you get into and get seated comfortably, and the announcer comes on, they tell a little bit of the story. What are some of the other things that they share with you when you're going up and down the mountain?
Right. So when we put our request or our proposal in with the U.S. Forest Service, one of the things we wanted to do is to go with a scripted narration. Prior, it was just the drivers over a loudspeaker. The loudspeaker created a lot of noise in the canyon, and it was oftentimes not necessarily naturally correct. They talked about things like Snoopy Rock and stuff like that, which are still there. But the Forest Service wanted something that's much more educational and much more true to nature. So we worked with the volunteer naturalist to write a script. We have a GPS-triggered system. It's all done by earbud, so there's no extra noise going out into the canyon. The drivers, the other side of that is the drivers are no longer the narrators. We have professional drivers, all CDL-based, and so they're not distracted as they drive up the canyon trying to do two things at once. Yeah, so it's been safer.
Because there are moments where they have to speed up, slow down, be careful, watch out for the public walking, because sometimes people have a tendency to cross the street thinking that they have the right-of-way, which they do. But sometimes they don't look to the left or to the right or to the front and the back. So, yes, and your drivers have been very courteous. I've been on maybe 10 times now. Extensive training program. And obviously, the Department of Transportation is very much engaged in PAG being transportation, the safety. So there's an operational side of this operation. There's the nonprofit fundraising side. There's the marketing side. You are operating a full-blown attraction here.
We are. And so the Regional Partnering Center is the legal entity. They have an MOU with the Pima Association of Governments to help support them. We have professional drivers. We just have a new contract for the drivers, so they're all professionally managed as well. And then we work with all the partner groups. We purchased the vehicles from a company in California called Trams International. They'd never done electric trams before, but we're a tram company in the tourism space. So we have the very first, and I might add, the very last of the electric shuttles in the world, because the company, when COVID hit and tourism took a dive worldwide, they went bankrupt.
Well, when the modern streetcar came, the Tiger Grant said it had to be built in the United States. So the same thing took place. There was nobody building modern streetcars. So Portland and Tucson got together, and a new company was formed. And they had some of the same, you know, learning curve, you know, that you guys went through. But you fixed all that. And now you're ordering and have ordered and will take delivery of four new trams. Now, has I presume someone's taken over the patents, and or you're maintaining them all yourself internally now?
We do 100% of the maintenance of the vehicles today. The drivetrain is out of an Italian boat company, Electric Boat. You were talking about that, so I kind of chuckled about that. So anyway, that's the drivetrain. They're still around, that company is. But we've learned how to do all the repairs ourselves. There's really nobody else in the world that knows how to fix them like we do. And we found a lot of local suppliers for a lot of the parts. Kudos to my team. Chris Garcia is our general manager out there. He does a great job. Our drivers are great. Our concessionaires are great. We really have a great team, and they've been with us now for some time. And so they're really committed to being out there in the canyon.
Well, I'm glad you shout out for Chris. He was going to join us, but you're doing a great job filling his, this has happened to a lot of the amusement park rides over the years, that you had to have your own machine shop nearby. You know, you became self-sufficient. And more importantly, that the time frame of when there's a repair is needed is on you. And you can only have so many backups. And you got to have a backup because batteries do go bad and what have you. But, it's not a Tesla company. It was a startup company. And, hang on to those maintenance guys, but hopefully they're not listening, because, I'm not encouraging them to get a raise, but you got to hang on to those guys. It's like a diesel mechanic. They're hard to find.
Yeah. Phil is our mechanic. He also does a great job. But you have to remember, these vehicles are not street legal.
Yes.
So if we take them down to the shop, that means we have to get a special tow vehicle, not just your average tow truck. We've got to haul it out. We've got to put it in that shop. We tried that when we first started, and that just... it was very disruptive to us. And now the vehicle's out of commission for days and days and days. And so we've just eventually just done it all in-house.
Yeah, you do have some infrastructure that I visited on site, but it's hidden. It's not part of the tour.
No.
The magic is that when you get there, they're operating. And everything's working, including every single speaker outlet. And I'm glad you brought up that, the fact that noise pollution was terrible out there during the diesel times. You individually get to hear the narration and every word. There's a volume control on it, and that's great. Well, we'll be back for one segment here, and we're talking about Sabino Canyon Crawler, and it's open. We'll be right back. This is The Morning Voice, and I'm your host, Tom Moulton. On KVOI 10:30 a.m., trusted local news and talk. Well, we're back, and we've been talking about the National Forest Service and National Park Service. And even though, despite the shutdown, they're still open, maybe a little bit reduced labor as far as the park ranger, but obviously they have a safety factor that they have to have a certain amount of folks that are out there. And of course the volunteers, they don't get paid. So they're out there still in force to make sure your experience is, memorable. I mean, clearly you're welcomed at the visitor center. We talked a little bit about there's a special pass. Now you do have two charges when you go out and decide you want to get on the crawler. So Rob, tell us a little bit about that, but it is, I think, something that's very affordable.
Yeah, there is a pass by the U.S. Forest Service to come onto the property, and that is $8 per car. We don't sell that as part of our ticket process, but that is something that people coming out to visit the canyon need to do. But if you have an annual pass, that also, for the national parks and stuff, that counts, so you don't have to pay twice. And then for us, we sell tickets multiple different ways. We still take cash. But that's like 1% now. It's a very, very small piece of our business. We sell mostly, about half our tickets are sold online through our website at SabinoCanyonCrawler.com, and the other half are sold at our kiosks. You can buy tickets well in advance. That you have reservations for your seats, so you can buy tickets weeks in advance, which as we approach the peak season, I'd highly recommend buying your tickets well in advance, because if you walk up during peak season, you may not be able to get on the shuttles.
It's a day and a time ticket.
It's a day and a time. It's not a seat ticket. You know, it's not like seat A3, but it is a time and a slot and a day ticket that you can buy in advance.
Now, what happens if you get in traffic and you show up? The driver will do his best to accommodate you?
On the website, you can make changes to your ticket.
Oh, that's good. I didn't know that.
Or if you call and talk to our concierge staff, we're very accommodating. We want the experience to be positive for everybody.
So you do have a live person you can contact?
Yes.
Oh, it's all on the website?
It's all on the website. You can call our phone number. You can send an email. And our concierge staff or our general manager will respond to that.
And what is that website?
SabinoCanyonCrawler.com.
SabinoCanyonCrawler.com. I mean, so just remember where you're going, and that is the website.
Wasn't your nickname Sabino Canyon Crawler, Tom? Was that your nickname at one time?
There was a lot of nicknames, but it was mostly Moldy Oldie.
Oh!
But had something to do with lava.
All right.
And I got molten lava soap a lot for Christmas, you know, and anything that flowed. You know, I got those as Christmas gifts. I don't know why. But you know, it's an important to understand national parks, Forestry Service are combined with one pass.
It depends. I mean, if you're over 62 years old, you're eligible to get a Golden Eagle Pass.
Okay.
Which gets you into any national park, any national forest, any national monument, et cetera, any federal lands. If you're under that, you can still buy annual passes, as I understand. That gets you into the Sabino Canyon recreation area, but it doesn't get you on the shuttle. You have to make a separate.
You still have to buy. And the individual ticket for the shuttle is still very reasonable.
It's $15 for adults and $8 for children.
And during times of the year, if you have a Tucson Attractions passport, I'm not going to give you the code because Rob has reminded me, don't put this code out because you have to have the passport, because in there is a special code in order to get a special price if you're Tucson Attractions passport. So I have to get my own plug, Rob. So go on to our website, TucsonAttractions.com, and you can see all the 130 different attractions that are out there in the area. And Sabino Canyon Crawler is very important into our destination message. Visit Tucson spends a lot of time talking about our state and our national parks. We're blessed with them. We can Catalina State Park is right down the road from me in Oro Valley, a beautiful park, you know, absolutely. There's campgrounds a lot of times. The whole area in Sabino Canyon is absolutely beautiful with them, you know, foothills, the Catalinas, and just an absolute, one-of-a-kind experience, and the Sabino Canyon Crawler makes it accessible. Well, we're going to appreciate you coming, Rob, and letting everybody know that the crawler is open, and SabinoCanyonCrawler.com. You can buy your tickets in advance is what we recommend. It's so good to see you, and thank you for being
a
member of the SAAA. And we're out there, and hey, get off that couch and get out to the Sabino Canyon and ride the crawler. Thank you so much. Goodbye now. Okay.
Morning Voice will be right back. We'll be talking with the Diana Medeiros Gallery. Stay tuned for some news and a few words from our sponsors.
Well, welcome to the 8 o'clock hour. We had a wonderful 7 to 8 discussion with Sabino Canyon Crawler with Rob Samuelson. He's been there since the beginning of the crawler when it replaced the diesel vehicles for the save the environment. I mean, clean electrical 48 passenger really open air 7.4 mile visit up and down with 9 different stops, a few bathrooms along the way. You can get on and off, and price is $15 for the adults and a little bit cheaper for the kids. And then there's a special price if you have, if you're a proud owner of the Tucson Attractions passport, where you get a nice discount to enjoy the ride up and down the mountain. Don't forget,
tell the folks where you can get a Tucson passport. And is there a cusp between this year's and next year's?
No, it's still going to be $29 for the annual pass. The difference is that it's good for 365 days whenever you buy it. So the date you buy it, you got 365 days. Get it on that phone and start using it for the 100 or so attractions that are out there. It's a really good discount over at the Sabino Canyon Crawler, as well as, you know, it's buy one, get one free, and a lot of them are buy one, get 50% off, but they're not casual discounts. They're actually money saving. The whole idea is, when we put this book together, is that you go out and you enjoy all the attractions. We don't want you to go to 1 or 2 or 3. We want you to go to 100 of them.
You're tourists in your own city.
Absolutely.
And where do they go to get that?
Well, you can go on the website. There's TucsonAttractions.com. Very simple, TucsonAttractions.com. Or you can put in the Tucson Attractions passport in the browser, and it'll come up. Sometimes it might come up as Explore Arizona attractions.com, because we've released this through the state. So we're encouraging people. There's also a 3-day and a 7-day where you can turn it on if you're a tourist in Phoenix or Flagstaff or whatever, and you just know you're going to be here for 3 or 7 days. It's a cheaper price, $15, $21, and $29. You can go to as many attractions, get as many attractions as you can in that 3 and 7 day. And again, the cool thing is that you can buy it now, you can gift it. It doesn't start counting down until you go to your first attraction. So that's the Tucson Attractions Passport. Sometimes it's known now as the Arizona Attractions Passport, as we try to add a few attractions in the Flagstaff and Phoenix, especially those that are housed here. Arizona Theater, Arizona Opera, Arizona Historical Society, they have attractions throughout the state. So we have discounts to those attractions as well. Mr. Vimmerstedt is my co-host here.
We have no Tim just yet.
So okay, all righty.
Not popped up on the phone yet.
Well, that's okay. No problem. Mr. Co-host duties will fall upon me. We do have a special guest that is coming in. She's getting her a new exhibit put together for Diana Medeiros, which is happening November 1st, and she's going to come and talk about this this absolutely annual art exhibit put on by Tucson's own world-class artist, Diana Medeiros. And we're going to hear all about Diana Medeiros sometime during this hour. But first, let's start with what's going on, because the weather is beautiful,
right,
Matt.
Right as we speak, Mr. Vimmerstedt is joining us. Let's see. Tim, I'm going to put you on the line. Good morning, Tim. And let's see if we can get Tim on here without going through the... Good morning, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing well, man.
There he is.
How are you?
There
I'm
you
doing
are,
great.
Timmy.
You're on the air, sir, and you are right on time. Tom was just making the segue, so timing could not have been better.
So co-host Tim Vimmerstedt. Good morning, Tim. Tim,
long... Good morning, Tommy.
Good morning. Longtime friend, former marketing sales director of the Desert Museum for 10 years, and my compadre in food and beverage at Old Tucson, and just an all-around kind of SAAA consultant, and hopefully soon to be back on the board of the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance.
I understand.
The ballot went out a couple days ago, and we're happy to have you back. I know you've been giving me advice for 30 years, even though I may not necessarily have needed. I really have appreciated the fact that you're often in...
Yeah, you've never listened to it.
well, Tom, you lead a horse to water, Tim.
What Tom meant to say
What Tom meant by that was...
It's pretty scary. You think it's just your spouse that can finish your sentences. Tim has been finishing my sentences for 30 years now. So, great friend. We got your picture up there, Timmy, in YouTube, in Facebook. So your big smiling face. We're going to get a new picture of you eating ribs. I think we're going to get that. We'll put that picture on, Matt. Whenever I deliver these Trail Dust Town ribs, we can't wait for Charlie and Casey, rather, and to get on Casey, the general manager on here to talk about his ribs and all the special food and the shopping, and they got a big Halloween. So tell us a little bit about the two or three events that you want to talk about before we get going into the Diana Medeiros gallery presentation.
Well, we have Tohono O'Toole Park is having Chili's Chocolate and Day of the Dead Festival tomorrow. Oh, and by the way, happy Halloween Eve.
Indeed. Dabney came by. We thought Dabney got you, Tim. We thought Dabney had finally gotten you. We were saying Tim is right all along. We said Tim was right all along.
I loaded every gun and I smeared Jello all over my floor.
Is that the... I didn't know that was the defense mechanism.
I thought it was salt. It's Jello. Okay.
Yeah,
I didn't know
it's Jello. It's an old Bill Cosby skit.
Dang.
The chicken heart.
Hey, that Tohono O'Toole event, I think, is also June. It's also going to take place, on the 1st as well, because of the way the Halloween is happening over the weekend this year.
Yeah, and it is. It's going to go on from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., and then we've got the Pumpkin Festival at the Sonoran Glass School. And that's taking place once again Friday and Saturday. So if you go to visittucson.org and thisistucson.com, you can find out all about these great events. And also, don't forget, it's your last weekend to go to Old Tucson. And our two favorite Western towns, Old Tucson and Trail Dust Town. Trail Dust Town tomorrow night is doing their last Not So Scary, which is right up my alley, Halloween festival. So great events, costume contests. Casey's pulling out all the stops for a couple of dollars. You can get a free ride on all the attractions all night long. I guess they have a carousel over there now.
At Trail Dust Town?
Oh, yeah, they have a chance. Yeah. They have an Alan Herschel carousel, just like Old Tucson.
Nice.
And they just it's recently been renovated. So it's like brand new. And I keep talking to Old Tucson. You got to do what Trail Dust Town did because, Alan Herschel carousels go back decades. And they painted the horses and changed the canvas and fixed all the mechanics. And they have new music and beautiful carousel out there. And the Alan Herschel carousels were kind of – you see them at zoos a lot in particular because they're kind of the miniature version, of the carousels that are out there. There's a few, carousels left. San Diego has one. New York has one. There's several of them out there still, but they generally have been taken apart and sold piece by piece, the bars and people's houses. So it's whenever you can get a kid on a horse going up and down or an animal, I think it's a great picture-taking opportunity. Hey, Timmy.
Yes, sir.
So there's two websites. I think we're promoting three websites now, aren't we? On to get all of the stuff on what's going on in town?
Yeah, we've got visittucson.org, thisistucson.com, and then you have one.
The Downtown Partnership one. Downtown Tucson
Downtown Partnership.
Because Crystal and her group are in our office, the old Fletcher McCusker office there downtown on Broadway and Scott. And we're and we've been partnering with them more and more, and we want to make sure that, you know, a lot of these websites have their niches as far as the special events. Right. And, of course, the Downtown Partnership is all about what's going on downtown. We also have one on TucsonAttractions.com or ExploreArizonaAttractions.com. Where we kind of combine, we do a little more of the community side, you know, art exhibits that are in the shopping centers. As whereas Visit Tucson, this is Tucson, they get, you know, the big annual one, like the one that was on Tucson Meet Yourself last. And, you know,
right.
There's folk festivals coming up, mariachi festivals coming up. Boy, there are just so many.
And you never gave us a recap on how you did with the Tucson Classic Car Show.
Well, you know, we haven't heard, but I can tell you there was over 20,000 tickets sold, and the walk-up was really good. Yeah. Weather was perfect. The car, that she wasn't there, or but I don't know much about it. Did they take the car, or did they take the cash? But the crowds were huge. I was running in charge of the buses, and they were dropping a lot of people off, and you know, no safety issues or anything. Let's see, 430 cars, 30 more cars than they normally have, and it was just a beautiful annual event and helping Pima community. Oh yeah, and it helps three charities every year. They pick.
Thank you for all your hard work.
Well, you know, you introduced me to it, and Tucson Auto Museum won a first place in their category for the DeSoto. What didn't I tell you about that? The DeSoto, one of a kind DeSoto at the Tucson Auto Museum, and they won first place.
Yep.
So
I think the car winner won took the car. I think he may have been a Rotarian, but I'm not positive.
Okay.
I
yeah.
So. I believe he took the car.
Okay. Well, that's good. Yeah. We've been off for a couple of weeks, but, well, we'll be right back, and we're, going to be taking a call from Madeira Scour here in just a few minutes. This is the Morning Voice on 10:30 AM. Trusted local news and talk. We'll be right back. Well, this is the Morning Voice, and I'm your Thursday host, Tom Moulton, the Executive Director of the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. We're a marketing co-op, non-profit that helps market all the attractions in partnership with our sponsor, Visit Tucson. So thanks to Visit Tucson, who just leased a new branding, Matt. Wonderful, exciting event. You know, a couple weeks ago, and the new website was up and running, and you can hear and learn all about how we're going to change a little bit about how we promote, the our destination. You know, Visit Tucson, been doing this. It used to be called, you know, was part of the almost part of the chamber, and then they started their own organization, and it became MTCVB, and then it became Visit Tucson, and it's we're glad to be associated with them from the beginning.
I see I got redirected over to the Visit Tucson, but it's got the new branding.
Yeah,
up in the upper
it's got the new
there,
logo, the new logo, and it's remember it was all about open spaces, and it's all about the living desert, and it's all about that we're a little bit different. And it's okay to be different, okay? That's one of the things that is part of when you come to Tucson, you can be yourself. You don't have to mold into, you know, anything other than just be yourself and have fun, okay? And, you know, when you're on vacation, that's the number one priority, I think, is to have fun. And whether it's the living desert or it's our urban downtown or it's our attractions or it's our national parks and state parks, I mean, you know, they tell you need to be more focused. Don't be all things, everybody. But I have to tell you, I take a look at the attractions and how we categorize them. And between family and entertainment and heritage and shopping and, you know, we're a little bit of everything. I mean, we are strong on Western heritage and the arts. And I think that's typical of Southwest. The Southwest art scene is very popular around the world. Cowboy, everybody loves the rodeo. They love the bull rides. They love you know, they generally love the Old West. Mm-hmm. And that's why still after all this time, Old Tucson, Trail Dust Town, Colossal Cave, you know, Sabino Canyon, they're all still being filmed with Westerns here in our community. And so, hey, let's celebrate our Western heritage, you know, and embrace it. You know, important to do that with the we have a wagon history museum here that has wagons going back hundreds of years.
Really amazing.
Yeah, we have the largest non-mechanical parade that goes on every February. We have the back-to-back weekends of the Tucson Rodeo that's been going on for now. I think it'll be the 101. We celebrate the 100th anniversary. So, you know, it's great, right. You know. And now we're preparing a little bit for to listen, to talk to Kylie Kennedy, and she's part of the Diana Medeiros Gallery team. Diana has been doing this art thing, well, for, you know, a lot of her life because it was hobby, but she didn't turn really professional until 1993 from what the research is telling me. And she's celebrating with an event that's happening November 1st, and she's been a dear friend for almost 30 years. We served, I guess, I think on the Visit Tucson board, tourism board for many years while she was running her sports marketing company, believe it or not. And she I don't know if you know this or not, but she is very engaged in a organization called the it's a nonprofit, Art for the Animals, and they support abused and injured animals. Are you aware of that, Matt?
I am aware of her interest that she takes in, like, the Tucson Wildlife Rescue Center. So,
absolutely.
Yes,
absolutely. That's another name.
The big event that she basically
big
is
event,
the
big strong supporter,
behind.
Not only just money, but
her
time. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know what her, other than her painting of the desert scenes, her most other favorite painting is of the desert animals, the Sonoran
absolutely.
Desert. And she's also gone to Africa. And she's painted lions, and now she's painted horses as well. And it's a very distinctive art form and watercolors, and, you know, in particular. But I have to tell you, when you go almost any location here in town, corporate-wise, they have her paintings. Not necessarily for sale, just to enjoy the art and the environment that we all work in here. And she's been doing this, again, as I mentioned, you know, the story goes, because we're not going to have a lot of time when Kylie gets on, but, you know, for somebody that grew up in New Jersey and now she's here in the Sonoran Desert,
isn't that something?
That is something else. And some of us remember the old LPGA, what Welch's Foods, remember, promoted that. And, and Chrysler promoted the PGA tournament. And she was the sports marketing company that promoted those two events. And that's why she was involved in tourism. And in 1993, she went to a month-long painting trip to Greece. And she came back and said, you know what? Gee, I don't need this stress. I'm going to start painting for, you know, a new career. And she turned her hobby into a very successful career and has really challenged herself and, you know, and employed the marketing techniques that she learned over the years. You know, she has the originals, and then she can put them on a cup, a bowl, a canvas, I mean, just a print, I mean, you name it, you're surrounded by her art in different mediums. And Kylie Kennedy will be on here. We just got notice from the email that she has successfully dropped off her kitty at the school, and she'll be joining us here after the break. But we wanted to lay out the groundwork because we're so proud to have her. And she had a gallery there on, I think it
on
was
Broadway.
Was it on Broadway?
Yeah, and then she was at Skyline and Campbell. for a little bit, and now she has this beautiful place on Swan, I think just south of Fort Lowell, if I've got the coordinates correct.
Yeah, and it's on Swan.
Swan, yeah.
And it's a beautiful, and she has, she has other artists in there that she features,
yes,
too. I think it's over 20, 26 or something I've heard of different artists. Southwest art, a lot of it, yeah, you know, is Southwest art. So we have a very tight art community, not just here, but in Tubac as well. I mean, in order to enjoy the art scene between Tucson and Tubac, you could spend almost a week here with the different galleries and the creativity that takes place. And then, of course, if you get to enjoy the Highway 80, historic Highway 80 attractions, there's just a number of art outlets as well in Bisbee, in particular, in Douglas, in Tombstone, and just a lot of Western art. Yeah. Of course, you can, you know, because of our heritage and our authenticity with Tombstone, still being a town that's too tough to die. It doesn't seem to want to die. It keeps going. And the Attractions Alliance is so happy to be associated with the city of Tombstone to help promote. It is our getaway. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just an hour away, and you can sip with Big Nose Kate and have a great time with her. And
I think that they're a sponsor of the show. I could even probably even fair to mention, you can get a debit card from Hughes Federal Credit Union with the Diana Medeiros print on it. You can actually get a Diana Medeiros. Yeah, I think they have two Diana Medeiros designs.
That's fantastic to bring that up. We'll be right back. This is The Morning Voice, and I'm your host, Tom Moulton. Well, good morning. We're back, and we have our special guest we've been teasing about, and I think, Matt,
can you mute yourself there maybe on your
PC?
I
think I should all be muted now.
Now you are.
Okay, good.
Okay, good. Great. Job.
Okay, thank you. And
thank you.
Kylie, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, absolutely. This is beautiful when it works. So we've been teasing since 8 o'clock about Diana Medeiros and her wonderful background, and I've known her when she was in sports marketing, and I think we served together on several committees over the years, and dear friend from Rotary.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, we're super excited to have our big annual event coming up right this weekend on Saturday. We're having our annual show. Diana paints about 25 originals every year, and so we're unveiling those. But Diana has a long history here in Tucson. A lot of people know her. We've been open for 26 years, so people know her for her ability to really capture the charm of Tucson, the colors that we see in our beautiful desert here, and just the magic that draws people to Tucson and has them stay for years and years, like she had coming from New Jersey, and then staying here after grad school. She didn't have any long-term plans to stay, but just really kind of fell in love with the desert here and the uniqueness of Tucson. And so this show celebrates that. She paints things that she loves, and so there's a variety of subjects, but she captures everything that she paints in the same bold, vibrant way that really brings a lot of joy and life to the image. And yeah, I'm happy to kind of share more about the show and what makes it special and kind of show you guys some of the works that are available this weekend.
Great. You've done a great introduction there, and we appreciate that. Again, she's been in this community, and I forgot that she came from New Jersey, which is obviously a culture shock from you know, kind of a urban kind of destination, even though New Jersey is beautiful, and we want to know a little bit just quickly about you. Now, Matt is going to get you on, we're on YouTube. Matt, I don't see her on YouTube, but if you can get her.
Yeah, I am working on that.
All right, great. So Matt is working on getting you on the air. This is kind of new podcast for us, but we can hear you very loudly. So thank you again. So you have been with Diana Medeiros, for about 7 years now. And tell us a little bit about how you found Diana and what you're doing now. Still not. hearing you.
Tell you what, why don't we go to an early break? I had all this set up and it was working just fine, and all of a sudden it isn't. So we're going to take a little break, and we will be right back on the Morning Voice just as soon as we get all this straightened out. So everything was working fine, and then all of a sudden it wasn't. So hang on a second, Tom. And Kylie, hang on a moment. We'll get you back on.
Well, we're back, and we're hope to have Kylie Kennedy. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
All right, we're back. Sorry about the technical difficulties. We're talking to Kylie, who's with the Medeiros Gallery, and she's talking about a special event that is coming up. And we got a little bit of a feedback, but we're going to work this through. So you've been with them for about 7 years, and now you have a new role, I understand.
Can't hear you. It's cutting out a little bit.
Kylie, he was saying that you're with the gallery for about 7 years now.
Yeah, about 7 years. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. And what's your job now?
I'm the gallery director.
What does that mean?
A lot of things. All fun things, but just helping Diana with her shows and as well as the guest artists that we have, and just keeping everything running well for the gallery, a lot of event planning. So,
yeah, and I've known you for that you help out on the coordination with the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance, and we encourage people to come to your gallery. This is your Diane's third gallery location, is that correct?
Yeah, it's been a great partnership with the Southern Arizona Attraction Alliance. Yeah, we did have two locations previously to buying this building on Swan Road, and then this became more of a permanent home for the gallery. So
Now we're going to have we got a little bit of delay, but the event is November 1st, mm-hmm. and it's at the gallery.
Yep. And it's this Saturday.
Yes, and it's an annual event, I understand. She does this every year?
Yes, every year Diana has an unveiling of her big collection to show what she's worked on over the previous year. And it's about 25 paintings, and they're all behind me. So we can get into some of the details and inspiration for some of the ones behind me.
Yeah, we're going to we'll come back in our last break. We're going to ask you to kind of show off these new paintings. These are new, just going to be unveiled for the first time.
Yeah, so this is the first opportunity to see them. We did, there's been previews of the show before the event, and then the show will be up until the 16th of November as well.
We love breaking news here on the Morning Voice, and we're so happy to feature you and Diana and her contributions to tourism and to the community and the things she's doing with the animals here in town. She's just a driving force behind so many different things in the community. So, Matt, let's go ahead and take that last break.
Which we just did, so why don't we just keep
going? All right, well, we're just going to continue. Go. All right. So, I'm going to ask you to kind of turn and talk a little bit about the paintings that you like until I cut you off.
Well, you mentioned briefly Diana's connection to the community and animals. Art for animals is something she started when she opened the gallery in 1999, and that's been a lifelong passion of hers, is finding a way to help animals, give back. You know, she feels fortunate to get to live a wonderful life creating art. And so one of the paintings I have here with me actually celebrates the zoo's 60th anniversary.
Oh, that's great.
And so I can mention that one, you know, quickly while we're talking about animals. But yeah, Diana loves animals, and that is the subject of some of these new works. Some of the other ones behind me celebrate more of the desert, mountain trek over here. This one is like what you think of with the classic Diana Medeiros painting, really just bringing out the vibrancy and the colors that come to life when, you know, you're out in the desert like it is now and the weather's beautiful and you just really kind of see the magic that's out there that keeps a lot of us here in Tucson after leaving from other places. Like Diana came from New Jersey and stayed. Then I also wanted to show you guys Joy and Bloom here. And this is just a gorgeous watercolor.
Oh, it's
done on watercolor paper.
It's what, 5 feet tall?
No, it's not 5 feet tall. Okay. It's 36 by 48, but
it's still a big painting.
It's very vibrant. It's her first time playing around with this medium, and it's not framed, so the colors just really pop through. It's actually watercolor paper that's like stretched on a canvas, so it's a really cool medium, and this is a brand new one that's in the show. And then we also have, you know, a few more behind me, but yeah, there's 25 in all. So if you want to see all of the paintings too, you can go to Medeiros.com/romance, and that will show you all of the other ones that are also there. But we have Saguaro Celebration, which really just captures like the shadows of the mountains behind the cactus and the backlighting. She likes to play with light and color. We have Paradise Creek that's inspired by a scene by the White Mountains. So really kind of if she travels, she takes a lot of inspiration from where she goes throughout the year and makes a beautiful collection that's just so much fun to get to experience in person.
Now, the gallery itself also includes some of her favorite artist friends.
Yeah.
Is that something that is different when you opened up the third gallery?
I think that our guest artist program has been, you know, expanding and growing throughout the years. Chuck Albanese, her teacher that took her to Greece when she was learning how to paint, he's been a guest artist, for a very long time. And so a lot of these people have played like an influential role in Diana's story. And so it's fun to get to see what they're working on as well. We have a wide variety of different colors and mediums and artistic explorations to see here as well.
Now, did she start in watercolors? Was that her preferred medium back then? Or I understand it was a hobby first while she was doing sports marketing.
She always loved painting, but she never received any real encouragement for it. And so when she was on a trip, she saw little note cards that had been hand-painted, and she just kind of loved them and got inspired to try it again. Then she met Chuck, and he really encouraged her to go to Greece, and she was like, I have 5 cats and a husband. There's no way. And
5 cats.
she made it happen and just, you know, it changed her life. When she came back, she realized that that was really, truly her passion and she needed to pursue it. And the way that she's shared that with all of us, she just captures everything in such a vibrancy that it really has resonated here with the Tucson community.
Now, these are all original paintings.
Right.
You mentioned there was 26, you said, or?
24. Yeah, so it's usually paintings. About 25 that she paints throughout the year. And there's 24 in this collection.
And some of them are framed and some of them are unframed?
They're all framed.
Okay, all right, they're all framed. Yeah. And now, has she, since these are one of a kind, will these also be available in prints and some of the other mediums that she does?
They will. Usually we offer prints after the original has sold traditionally, but the originals are available right now. The way we do that is we take commitments on the painting. So a lot of them do have commitments at the moment, but we're taking commitments through the rest of today. And then to keep things fair, if there's a more than one name, we will do a drawing today to decide which collector gets the painting, because we know there's a lot of, you know, demand for her work. We want to give new collectors an equal opportunity as well.
Now, did Diane come up with the concept of each painting, or did she have encouragement from some of her supporters?
Sometimes she gets a photograph or she sees a photograph from a friend that is really inspiring, and she'll ask, can I paint this? There's a little bear in this show that was inspired by another guest artist here at the gallery, Rocky LaRose, who's also well-known in the Tucson community.
Yeah.
Amazing photographer.
Yeah. Yes, she is. I forgot about that. Yeah. So Rocky was the assistant athletic director for U of A for many, many years. Married to Mike Proctor, great guy, and what a great collaboration with Rocky. And so 24 inspired paintings.
Right.
A lot of the ideas, it appears that these are something that Diana was inspired to paint.
Yeah. The show is called Romancing the Art, okay. And Diana really lives a romantic lifestyle. She's, you know, feels very fortunate to get to enjoy Tucson, and she paints that a lot because she just loves it out here. So some of them are like the desert scene behind me, you know, a lot of them are merger of something abstract and also just real life inspiration from photographs, but also collaborations with other artist friends, and she gets influence from other photographers and other artists as well.
Well, I have to say, I don't think there's a local business here in town that doesn't have at least one of Diana Medeiros's painting. I helped open up Trio, which was Sun Corridor, and my wife opened up a brand new Pima County office, and we explore Diana's artwork, and she recently retired, and when we had three Diana Medeiros paintings, big ones, in our house, and now one day about a week ago she unveiled all of the art that was in the Pima County offices that she purchased, and we now have probably 8 paintings from Diana in her house, and they're everywhere. They're in the living room, the kitchen, the bathroom. I mean, they somewhat coordinate it to the room that they're in. Now, she didn't use to paint animals, right? Originally, it was more a depicting of the Sonoran Desert, was that something that inspired her and she started painting animals?
She's always been drawn to animals, okay, as a subject matter. Usually, there's a couple in every show, but she just loves, you know, capturing the soul of the animal through the animal's eyes. She says that's her favorite part to paint, and they really are, you know, she does capture them so well, all their personalities and, you know, like the fun little lines from the zoo. But yeah, since that's been, she grew up in a veterinary hospital attached to her father's apartment. Her dad was a veterinarian. So it's always been a really central part of her life and her story, is just her connection to animals and finding a way to give back that way.
Yeah, so we got about a minute or so, but her participation in the community, especially in Rotary now, she leads a committee that is out there encouraging Rotarians to work with the nonprofits, and very inspirational. But she's had the foundation, the nonprofit she supports, you know, speak to us about what they do, and I want to make sure I get this name right. But this wildlife, you know, volunteer organization that she works with, she's been doing that for a number of years, hasn't she?
The Tucson Wildlife Center.
Yes.
Yeah, she's been really involved with that for many years now. It's been really an important cause to her, with them closing all of the surrounding resources. And that's really kind of the only place where injured or hurt wild animals can get the help that they need. So, that's very dear to her heart.
We're out of time, and we appreciate it. November 1st is the...
Yep, Diana will be at the event. Yes. So you can meet her there if you're interested.
And you're on Swan Road. What's the address?
3035 North Swan Road.
Well, Kylie, thank you so much. And thank you, Diane, for all of your support. And thank you for being part of the SAAA. And get out there and go to Diane Medeiros' gallery on November 1st tomorrow. Thank you all.
11 a.m.
11 a.m. on November 1st. All right. Thank you very much for being on. Thank you, Kylie. And take care. And we'll see you there at the gallery.